Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. Andy Billig is a proud father, business person, and active member of the Spokane community. He was elected to the State Senate by constituents of the 3rd Legislative District in 2012. Prior to joining the Senate, Andy represented Spokane in the State House of Representatives. In the Senate, Andy has continued to be an advocate for children, working families, and small businesses in Spokane and throughout the state. He has been particularly active with legislation related to early learning, as well as expanding voter access and campaign finance transparency. He also served on the bipartisan Education Funding Task Force that produced the legislative framework for fully funding our schools as ordered by the state Supreme Court. Andy serves as the Senate Deputy Majority Leader and is a member of the Ways and Means, Early Learning and K-12 Education, and Rules Committees. In addition to his work in the legislature, Andy is part owner and former general manager and president of the Spokane Indians Baseball Club. In 1994 and 2004, he was voted the Northwest League Executive of the Year, and he received the Northwest League's Joe Martin Award for service to baseball and the community in 2007. Andy is committed to giving back to his community. He has previously served as a big brother, volunteer youth sports coach, and is a volunteer in several capacities with Greater Spokane Incorporated. He also served on the board of directors for the YMCA of the Inland Northwest and on the City of Spokane Human Services Advisory Board. Andy is also a board member for SNAP, Spokane Neighborhood Action Partners. Ann Rivers became the 18th Legislative District State Senator in mid-2012 after Joseph Zarelli decided to step down after 17 years of service. It was a straightforward transition for her and the people of the 18th District since she was already representing them in the House. In November 2012, she was elected to a full 4-year term in the Senate and was re-elected in 2016. Ann is currently the Republican leader on the Senate Health Care Committee and serves on the Ways and Means and Early Learning and K-12 Education Committees. She also served as co-chair of the Education Funding Task Force. Ann continues to focus on strengthening Washington's economy, protecting our state's taxpayers by prioritizing and controlling state spending, offering each child in Washington an opportunity to succeed in school, and making sure that the projects Southwest Washington needs for a solid transportation system are moving forward. Since we have a part-time citizen legislature, Ann works at the Tri-Mountain Golf Course in North Clark County. She also operates a governmental and public affairs consulting firm based in La Center, where she lives with her husband Fred and sons Rex and Derek. She has a bachelor's degree in political science, minoring in natural science and history, and a secondary education teaching certificate. Ann is a former middle school science and math teacher. She is active in her community, belonging to Greater Clark County Rotary and other organizations, and volunteering for events such as the American Cancer Society's West Clark County Relay for Life, where she was publicity chairwoman. Ann also serves on the board of directors for several organizations, including Innovate Washington. Senator Andy Billig from Spokane and Senator Ann Rivers from La Center are leaders when it comes to bipartisan politics. And so I'd like to start by asking, which accomplishments, Senators Billig and Rivers, are you most proud of that have been put together in a bipartisan way?
I think that first and foremost, the McCleary work that we did was the most important thing. Andy and I were actually in the same freshman class. And so for the entirety of the time that we've been in the legislature, back when we started off in the House to now, we've really been under the black cloud that has been McCleary. So it's exciting to know that. We've driven policy that will benefit all of the children in our state, and indeed many of the adults in our education system as well, but also that maybe next year we won't have to talk about it so much, which is, that's a very exciting thing as well, and we can focus on some other major things that are facing Washington as a state.
Well, thanks. I agree that the work that we did on education last year is certainly probably the biggest bipartisan accomplishment that I can think of. And Ann brings up a good point about that we were in the same freshman class, as were two other members of the task force. So there were 8 out of 147 legislators that were negotiating this, you know, really significant education funding bill. And 4 of the 8 came in together as freshmen. And when you come in as freshmen, you have a bond because you go through the orientation together, you're experiencing things similarly in those first couple of years, and I feel a connection to my fellow freshman from 2011. I actually had not thought about that 4 of the 8 of us, but I think that helped to facilitate strong bipartisanship.
So I'd like to follow up on that. What does that look like when you're going through orientation? And do you spend time together across the aisle outside of a legislative setting?
I don't know how much we spent time outside of the legislature, but it was 3 or 4 days of intense days. And they're really exciting days because you've just worked really hard to get elected. And you come to the legislature for the first time. You're not even sworn in yet officially as legislators. And just for me, at least, I was just eating it up. It was so exciting. And you're learning so much. I remember we had different courses. I mean, one of them that really stands out that I draw on all the time is we had half a day that was, I called it tribal law for dummies, but it was. We learned in depth about tribal law, and it was like that about everything, about legislative procedure and how to stand up on the House. We actually practiced standing up on the floor of the House and practiced speaking and getting recognized by the Speaker. But it was less about the specific things that we did, but just an opportunity to go through that together really helped to create a bond.
And I will say that since we were freshmen, so much has changed with ethics law that the opportunities that we used to have to get together sort of at the drop of a hat seem to have diminished significantly. So the social things, you know, George Washington always said, you should always drink beer with your colleagues, whether you think just like them or not, because the reality is when you get to experience one another as a real human being, then you can begin to develop trust and to see the world from their point of view, which always helps in the development of solutions. Because if you understand how they're thinking as you come up with solutions, you can address problems before they can even arise. But I've noticed the legislature as a whole, we don't do the sorts of things we used to do anymore. There's a lot of concern about who's paying for what and transparency and all of that, to the point where we don't have that same sort of fellowship that can help to facilitate discussion and solution and really candid topical sorts of observations about if we could only, right? Being able to dream together about how you arrive at a solution, I think is really important. We don't get that opportunity anymore, really.
That's really interesting. If you could craft a way to bring that sort of fellowship back, given the ethics realities that we have today, what do you think that could look like? Could it be card games or ping pong or trivia, something like that?
Well, and there is still, I think that I agree with Anne's point, but we do still get together. Senator Walsh and her LA host a karaoke night once a week during session. There's a legislative basketball game. I think it is diminished from how it was, but there are still those opportunities to get together.
Since there is this national discourse that's like this dark cloud that's on the other coast, do you feel any sort of fallout from that here in Washington State?
Absolutely. I think that frustration with what's happening on the other coast, we're the closest targets to that frustration. So we'll often get emails in our office demanding that we do something about something that's happening over there that we have no idea. But I think it's really important for us to recognize that that's the case and not take it personally. There's just all of this sort of angst and overwhelming, I guess, just negativity. It's one of those things that I think if you recognize it and you just try to diffuse it, and what I always say is, this isn't that Washington and we're working on solutions here and that kind of thing, but it's really spilling over on everyone. You know, there's just so much splatter and we're getting it on us too, even though we're doing some really amazing bipartisan things. You can't hardly go out anymore without being attacked for the president's policy or this policy or that policy. And you just kind of go, he has no clue who I am. So I'm really not sure what my opinion matters on this issue. But I think just being really sensitive to the people whom we represent and why they're feeling the way they're feeling and being empathetic is helpful. It's a good move. But yeah, I mean, definitely there's so much going on. It's just nutty right now.
Yeah, there's confusion. I often think of the office and, you know, when people ask how it is in Washington, D.C. or ask about some federal issue, and I always think about the office where the character who has the boyfriend who's the senator and the other character is always say state senator. So I always have to clarify, I'm the state senator. But, you know, one upside, though, I think from what's happening at the national level is there is a higher level of engagement right now. At least I see it. And I think a lot of us see that. And I think that could be a positive outcome. For instance, if I do a Facebook post or send out a newsletter or host a town hall meeting, it's double. Everything is double. The double the number of responses, the number of inquiries, and people for positive and negative, there's just a higher level of awareness. I think a lot of people that just sort of, hey, I'm just going to go about my daily life and I don't really need to worry about that political stuff, their attention's been grabbed. They're paying a little bit closer watch. And I think that could be a positive outcome from what's happened at the national level.
I agree with that.
Well, it seems like the million-dollar question is, how can we talk about issues in a civil way without having to resort to some of the tactics that are being done on the other coast? Is there a way that we can have a civil discussion?
I think there is a way to have that civil discussion. I think it starts with looking at it from the other side's point of view, thinking about yours, having the discussion in a way that is not where you're attacking or you're assuming that there's a motive that exists that just doesn't exist, and really truly caring about the person on the other side. I think the world of Andy, Christine Rolfes is amazing. I love working with her. All the people who were on our McCleary task force, I hold in high esteem. It's a key element in success is to want the very best for your friend while at the same time working together towards a solution. But this threatening stuff that comes our way about, you know, I vote and if you don't do what I want, I'm not voting for you. It's like, okay, I'm still not going to do what you want. But this idea of not letting the sort of the mucky stuff infiltrate the relationships and prevent them from getting the task complete.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I think helps us is that we're citizen legislators. So we're part-time, we all go back to our communities, we're close to our communities, most of us have other jobs. And so I think that helps us because we hear about things, I just think we're closer to the community. So I think that helps us. But one thing I wanted to say too is that I think being respectful and sort of disagreeing without being disagreeable, I mean, that stuff is so important. Bipartisanship doesn't mean you always agree. We had great bipartisan success in the Education Funding Task Force, but it wasn't all smiles and high fives. And that friction is actually good. I mean, the designers of our country and our state, they were so smart. I mean, they created the system that actually creates some of this friction. And it's that friction that sort of brings the policy to the middle, which is where generally you make good policy, it creates ideas. So if we just all agreed on the first idea that came up, we wouldn't have had a product after we spent too long going back and forth, and that friction created some new idea. Well, that's not going to work. We're not going to agree to that. I'm not going to agree to that. I'm not going to agree. Okay, let's come back tomorrow and try a new idea. Well, here's a new idea. I'm not going to agree. And again, and again, and again. And then finally, you come up with something and go, yeah, it's not my first choice, but I think I can agree to that. And somebody says the same thing, and all of a sudden, you've got a bipartisan agreement. And so I just always caution people that just because we're disagreeing doesn't mean it's not productive. It's just there's a difference between doing it in a productive way and sort of a nasty, unproductive way.
What are you most excited about in terms of bipartisan opportunities, either this session in 2018 or next year in 2019?
Well, for this year, I think we have an opportunity to finish our job related to our constitutional obligation to amply provide for the basic education of all students within our borders, which is the constitutional requirement that the Supreme Court said we are not in compliance with. I think this is the year where we can finish that work. We're never going to finish the work to help support students to be successful, but we can at least get the McCleary cloud removed by meeting the court's requirements and the constitutional requirement. So I think that's one thing, and I'm hoping that we can do that in a bipartisan way. The other bipartisan efforts that I've been very excited about this year, and I think will continue, is our work on voting access and making sure that voting, which is really a cornerstone to every policy and really cornerstone to a healthy democracy, that all people that are eligible to vote are able to, and we've really been able to move those things. They're not unanimous, those votes, but they have been done in a collaborative way and in a bipartisan way to most extents, and I look forward to that continuing as well.
So we have a significant amount of work to be done in the healthcare committee. The reinsurance bill is a huge deal. Smoking 21 is a huge deal to increase the smoking limit to the age of 21. Another thing that is really front of mind for me today is school security. About maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we made a significant investment in the capital budget to allow for grant opportunities for school districts who, you might remember that we went through a phase, I think it might have been in the 80s, where we built these all California style schools in the Northwest. What in the world were we thinking? 'Cause really, but these facilities are clearly not as secure. So we put in, I think, $6.5-7 million. Well, that money's used up. So I'm really excited about having that included in this capital budget this year for those school districts who didn't participate to come back and get some money. Maybe it's building a secure vestibule where people have to go and then be rung in and they have to state their business, that kind of thing. So we just don't have anyone walking around the schools. So that kind of thing that we can do, the discussion about increased security within the school structure and what that might look like. When you first asked me what are other opportunities, I really can't think of anything that wouldn't be an opportunity. There are so many things that need to be worked on, and we only have a few days left in this session. And by a few, I mean 8, but who's counting? And so we'll tee up the discussions and then have some things really ready to go for the long session when we'll have significantly more time to actually get to work together and get some things done.
Democratic Senator Andy Billig represents Washington's 3rd Legislative District, and Republican Senator Ann Rivers represents Washington's 18th Legislative District. Senator Billig, Senator Rivers, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks a million. I really appreciate it.